Good morning or afternoon or evening, everybody. It is May 12th, 2020. And it's Tuesday. And it is I don't know how to count them. I guess it's our fourth day of our Mexico at home retreat, or it's our second full day or whatever you want to call it. And I'm so excited to see everybody. And I'm excited to see you eating, yes, drinking, taking care of yourselves, doing whatever you need to be present. And I want to start by saying, oh my goodness, have you been over to the Facebook page? I was just there this morning again, and it is so beautiful. You're going to want to go over there and see what's there and contribute and say hello. And oh my goodness. I printed off some of them, and only just a handful. I mean, there was so much over there. So, you know, Yvonne posted her whiteboard, and then there were other whiteboards that were posted underneath that. That was just so beautiful. And okay, thank you, Lindsay. Thank you for that note. So the whiteboard. And remember to keep your own in the back of your book and give yourself some space for, you know, what's going to be coming up. And I love to teach that these pieces of both our journey and then the craft of writing. All that's going to be on the whiteboard, and all these things are related to the craft of writing. But when they come up organically like that, they just come up because we're chatting about it and we see it. It's so much better than having this list of rules. You get what I'm saying? Like, what are those anyway? They're not related to us. But when we see how they come up in our everyday world as we're chatting, we can start to use these things consciously in our talks. When we're in a strategy session, when we're networking, when we're meeting with a potential joint venture partner or a new person in our downline or whatever it is, meeting with somebody on our team, we can use these. Putting something in brackets, like for instance, wow, I got a lot of things to tell you guys today, and there's so much we're going to do, and there's tons of fun we're going to have. But right now, I want to tell you about the Facebook page. So you might not have heard any of that first part that I put in brackets, right? Because I'm going fast and I'm not worrying about whether you catch all those details, because it doesn't really matter, because people's attention, we know from studies that they're not always paying attention. In fact, some, you know, they're thinking about what's going to be for breakfast, they're thinking about all these other things, but that doesn't matter because we're talking about the Facebook page now. And you heard that twice now, didn't you? You heard about the Facebook page, and I don't care if you heard all those other details. I put them all in brackets. There's that, and there's that, and there's that, and there's that, and there's that. But this is what matters. That technique is right up here, which is posted on the Facebook page, and you've got it in your whiteboard. That's what I call putting things in brackets. That one technique alone could be the difference between a sale and not a sale for you, for example. I mentioned this yesterday, right? So this is one of the things you're going to find on the Facebook page, right? So it might be that, yes, and I gave this example yesterday. Yes, I know that it's challenging and you haven't told, like Marie, I hope you don't mind if I tell you about when you first joined, Marie. Can I mention something about you and telling your husband? Can I tell that story, right? Is that okay? Thank you. So when Marie joined, I can't remember. You didn't tell your husband for months, I think it was, right? A long, long time.
It was the whole first year.
I thought it was a year, yes. I didn't want to exaggerate that. So, I know it might be hard to tell your husband, I know it, or wife, and I know there's a lot going on for you, and I know you've tried other things, but I believe in you. I don't say it if it's not true, right? You say things that are truthful. But that sentence said in that way could calm a lot of fears, could let the person know that you're there just in the way that you've said it. If you understood what I said, just about the putting in brackets, there's many, many things in here. I just talked about putting in brackets. If you understood that and could hear the power of that, raise your hand. Yeah, that one technique alone could be worth this whole week, right? So tons of things over there on the Facebook page, including Yvonne's whiteboard. And then, oh my goodness, one of the other things I printed from that, I like to see real paper sometimes, you know? I know it's trees. I try to be mindful, but like, but some of them, have you seen? Curlies. Oh my freaking, like, this was yesterday. And she's shared it with us. Like, oh my goodness, so beautiful. Yesterday perceived through Carly's eyes, right? Yes, isn't that, yes, thank you. There, people are already doing it spontaneously. So ready? Yvonne, will you help us? One, two. Yvonne, you should count it out. You count it out. Count it with your fingers and then we'll go. Yay! Thank you so much for that. It's so beautiful. Carly, can I tell them about client journey briefly? Can I tell them about what we're doing? Okay. So I'm super excited because Carly is going to be doing some work for this company. And what we're doing is we're mapping the client journey together over the coming months. And look at how she maps. So exciting things. You won't see those things directly. It's related to the branding, new branding that we've got coming out. And you won't see it directly for a little while, but all of it is going to enhance your journey. And Carly, I mean, beautiful. And so also, if any of you have an editor, I mean, mine, I don't even know where mine went. I have it here somewhere. I think I could probably find it, but... I'm talking on Yvonne's, right? I got so many pieces of paper flying here. And Yvonne's, oh my goodness, you know, it's beautiful, so much more beautiful than mine, right? And if you've got an editor like I do, it's like mine isn't as beautiful as hers. I know it's one of the places where my editor lies. That's okay. Love on yours. And feel free to make the ugliest, most awful, most chaotic whiteboard possible and then post it proudly, right, in our Facebook page. Because it's your journey and everyone's journey is a little bit different. You're hearing all different things. And you know, I know Carly is such an artist and it's so very beautiful. And it's her particular take on yesterday. And everyone has their own take on it and how rich it is to see all the different paths, all the different ways, the different pieces that you're hearing and that can from your journey each day. And that can be beautifully collected over in the Facebook page. And thank you. Where's Wendy for posting, Wendy, there you are on my screen, Wendy, for posting, for starting the thread for Jasmine, which is where this was posted as well, right? Thank you for that. And oh my goodness, then there for everybody. It's like, here's some of the things, and I didn't make very many notes, but I wrote down one of, you know, you said, you wrote down the rules for writing. Wendy, I think that you wrote that down, didn't you? Yes. I'm now like, Goldberg, that's huge. If only that were on the Facebook page, that would be huge. So thank you for that. And Jasmine, thank you for keeping us posted yesterday. I read the last two lines of your text to me, to everybody. And everyone was, I wish you could have seen their face. Everybody was like, oh, so glad to hear you're doing okay. And that reminds me of, oh yeah, so more things for Facebook. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But the song that Wendy posted, the lyrics, beautiful. It took me a while to find it. And then she posted a video as well of the rest of her writing that she did and shared it. It was beautiful. I found it and then it disappeared. I didn't know where it went. I'm not super techie. I've got a team to handle that. I'm not super techie. Well, then it came up again. So, you know, persist. And I couldn't find these lyrics at first. They wouldn't download for me. Then I found them. So there's so many rich things over there in the Facebook page. And so, you know, keep your sharing there. Keep posting questions. Some great questions we're going to get to you from there today too. And also, we've already seen, and it might or might not be your word, all right? So you might not like that word, the wall. I like it because what I think of it, you know, when we hit the wall, it feels like that's what it felt like when I was doing my comprehensive exams. It's like I was running toward this huge brick wall and I felt like I was going to go smuck right into it. And so I like the word, the wall. Because it feels like that sometimes. If you've ever felt like that sometimes, raise your hand. It's very, you know, we felt that way. It's part of our human experience, right? And then when my friend told me, like, Michelle, but the wall, it's like, it's not really real. I'm not saying there aren't real things that happen. You know, I know real things happen, right? But the wall, that feeling, that gut-wrenching feeling inside us, it's like that, and what we think is going to happen, it dissolves. Like, how many of you, for instance, were worried, intensely worried in November that all flights were going to be canceled? You know, like, it wasn't on your radar, right? So we worry about all these things, and here's the wall, and we're so sure we're going to go smuck, and it usually comes in at left field anyway. It comes in somewhere else. It comes in somewhere we're not expecting it, and we're so busy using our powerful, powerful imagination and our imagination. That's our story writing capacity that is innate to us as humans. Kids can't stop telling stories. Guess what happened? And then this happened. And then that, and until they drive us crazy. We are natural storytellers. And we use that powerful, colorful, in multi dimensions capacity inside us to vividly envision a future that we don't want. It's called worry, right? Isn't that what we're doing? And it's probably not going to happen that way anyway. Sometimes we're ruminating about something that's going on right now. Sometimes it's like the past that we're then thinking is going to repeat in the future and all this stuff. So I like calling it the wall because it really does feel like that. But it's never going to be like that. It's never going to be that thing. And again, even on the very serious side, like the morning that I woke up and that I got that call that my man had died, that was not on my radar. That's not what I was worried about. I was worried, some of you know this already, the day before, there was a gunman threatening to kill people at my daughter's school the day before. It was not a good week. You know, my daughter is fine. When I picked up the call, I thought he was going to be calling to ask about that. How's Dana? Is she doing okay? Even the big things, right? It comes in from left field and we don't expect it. And the small and trivial things too, right? Our breakfast doesn't turn out the way we want it, or somebody calls us up with some bad news, or we can't find the right dress to wear that day, or our makeup doesn't work, or we can't wash our clothes. That was the other thing that was happening to me that week. Our washing machine broke. It was crazy, And my visa was stolen as well. It was not a good week, right? But I tell you, it's not what I woke up worrying about at the beginning of the week. And so why bother? Why bother? And so I like that word, the wall, because it feels like this thing is just coming toward us, but it dissolves. And yes, stuff happens. I get that stuff happens. But the way that we're envisioning that, the future that we're seeing, the horrible thing that we're going to think is going to happen because it happened before like that, and so we're anticipating that, all that is story. If you understood what I meant by that, if you heard what I said, it's so important. Raise your hand. Why am I using my vivid and powerful and beautiful imagination to envision the worst future that I don't want? I can gain control of that. Chittavritti Nirodha. It is the definition of yoga. Yoga is the stilling of all that mind stuff. And instead, why don't I use my powerful imagination to go share on the Facebook page, to draw, to dance, to sing, to whatever it is for you, to create that thing that I actually want to be headed toward. All right. So today, the theme of today is letting go. Yesterday was our abundance day. Today is letting go. We just finished that series. And I wanted to kick off this day with giving you the possibility of letting go of some of those old stories. Letting go, if maybe you don't like that word, the wall, you can use a different word if you want, okay? Let go of the need to have it be the same word that I like to use. You can translate it, right? You can add this to your, how to get the most out of our week together. Don't ask, does this apply to me, but how does this apply? I don't like that teaching about the wall, for instance, or whatever it is, or I don't like the words, and it might not be Devasia pushing away, but just I don't know how to relate to that word, the wall, or I don't know how to relate to, watching my breathing. Wendy's beautiful question, we'll get to that in just a second. That's okay, translate it to the word that you like, not does it apply, but how does it apply to me, all right? So letting go of those stories, letting go of the things that don't serve us, letting go of hanging on so tightly to the past because we think it's going to repeat. Letting go of the way that we have to have the future go. Letting go of that control. It's like if we had to have the future go only in one way, well, we would, many of us would be putting our toes in the sand in Mexico right now. Some of us wouldn't be here because some of you couldn't actually travel to Mexico this year. And so, none of this then could be right. And then we spend all our time pushing away this moment because as the Buddhists teach us, again, I'm not a Buddhist, but I find wisdom about how our minds work in the Buddhists. There's many spiritual teachings, some of them from, you know, my Catholic upbringing, some of them from the Buddhists, some of them from the yogis, more from the Hindus. It's like, you know, whatever people can teach about how we can live in freedom, I've got my ears open. And the Buddhists say, well, you know, one of the first things we need to know is sometimes we suffer. Suffering happens, you know. Suffering just happens. And I remember when I first ran across that teaching many years ago, I was like, oh, it's not just me. Oh, sometimes it hurts and it doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. Oh, sometimes other people are hurting too. Oh, it's just a part of our journey. And then I started, you know, there it is over there in Buddhist teachings. There it is over here in story. Why do we get, you know, why the hero's journey, for instance, one version of an empowering story. And the hero goes down to, like, the hero dies. The hero goes down into the darkness. The hero goes down into the depths of despair. It's part of it. If you know that arc of the hero's journey, if you've heard of that before, raise your hand. It's very common these days. Yeah. And if you haven't, don't worry. It's okay. Right? Think Harry Potter, right? If you've watched Harry Potter, that's a version of the hero's journey. The Star Wars the stories were George Lucas was heavily steeped in the hero's journey. It's like versions of that hero's journey. And there's this pit of despair where we go down to the darkness. And why would we include that in our stories? Don't we want to just be happier? Don't we want to just, like, aren't we on a path of enlightening? Why would we focus on that? Or like Wendy yesterday saying, like, but what we focus on expands, why would we go there? It was a really smart question, right? Well, we go there because as human beings, if you've ever been in a dark place before, raise your hand. And again, I actually want you to raise your hand. So you're not alone. Part of our human journey. And so then what do we decide? There's the story part. What do we decide to make of that? And some people teach, wow, we need to go through that darkness. It's necessary. So please go seek the darkness. You're not going to find that here, okay? Go seek those dark moments so that you can let them go or so that you can grow, because otherwise we won't grow. In fact, I co-taught with a teacher once, and I thought that our teachings were quite aligned, and then I bumped into a difference, and that was the difference. And I'm like, oh, wait, it's actually an entirely different worldview. I'm not telling you what worldview to have. But there is a difference, and I'm just making a suggestion to you. There's a worldview that says, I'm going to go seek hard experiences because that's the only way I can grow. So I'm always going to look for bad things. It's not my worldview. I'm like writing as a patchwork quilt. It's going to come up. Our lives have that anyway. And then when it comes up, we can see what we want to do with that. But one of the things we can let go of is that story that I need to dive more into suffering in order to grow. When it happens, what do I want to make of it? And can I let go of that story that I need to suffer more in order to open? Can I let go of that the thing that I'm so afraid of that's going to happen? Because it usually doesn't happen that way anyway. And what is it just to stay here, be here, be here? Be here. Okay. Well, Yvonne knows that was extra. That wasn't in my notes anywhere. Well, it was for a little bit later in the day. You know, it goes like that often. But so I was so inspired by what you were posting on the Facebook page, which led me to the creativity of creating and our imagination and the wall and the letting go theme for the day. I was going to introduce it later, but it just seemed so appropriate. And about the wall. So we hit the wall at different times. You know, we've already seen that, right? And so lean in, keep leaning in, keep getting support. And sometimes the wall comes in, you know, kind of spectacular ways. And sometimes the wall comes in ways that nobody else even has noticed yet. They don't know. And it's just something that's a little bit off. Could be the beginnings of all. It's like, Michelle, don't talk about letting go. I already got that, move on. You know, it might be the inklings of the beginning of a wall. Or it might just be what the Buddhists call dukkha, suffering. We just suffer sometimes. Yeah, go ahead, Dottie.
What does lean in mean? What do you think that, how are you using Lean In at this time when you need support?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that, because if you have that question, other people probably do too. Lean in, get support. I know that Jasmine, for instance, you know, and Teresa yesterday got support in different ways, right? And so fantastic, really, really great. And shared with us too, just, you know, Teresa posted, for instance, in the Facebook page, right? And Jasmine sent that note. I read those last two lines. And so get support. You can lean in the Facebook group. You can be on a call with a buddy. You can lean in with a team. You can send me a note. I would be mindful about this, leaning in with family members right now, because they're creating this space for you. And so probably when you get back there, all of a sudden they probably want a piece of you, right? They might be a little bit needy. That's okay. Just let that be. It's okay. Just create space for that. But, you know, that's all right. Lean in here. Get support. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that, Dottie. All right. Don't suffer in silence, and don't wait as well, right? It's connected to one of those, like, how to get the most out of this. Don't wait. If there's some way that you're suffering and then you wait 3 days, it's like, it just intensifies and it gets harder to turn it around. It's not that it can't be turned around, but that story picks up momentum. The sooner we can see it, just like in Shavasana, oh, there's a thought. I see it right when the thought is forming. It hasn't even formed yet. I see it and I let it go. It's a really important practice. And how many of you, by the way, no judgment, just checking in, are starting your day with Shavasana? I recommend it, and then sometimes I don't mention it for a while, and then it tends to drop off the page. How many of you are starting your day with Shavasana? Just a show of hands. No judgment. No judgment. How many have done so? Yeah, okay. How many have done so before at some point? Started your day with Shavasana? Raise your hand. How many are considering starting your day with Shavasana tomorrow? Because I mentioned it now, and it's a really great way to start your day with an empowering story. Clean slate, 3 minutes, lie and breathe. Okay, fantastic, thank you. So letting go. Letting go of expectations, letting go of the schedule, letting go of using our powerful imagination to create a future we don't want. Letting go of the past, being here, right now. Letting go of needing to get stuff out of things. I must have my breakthrough right now. Letting go. It's our letting go day. What is it that you want to let go of today? All right. Just want to think about the order of things for a second. I want to hear a couple of ahas just from the pieces that we're doing already this morning. Yeah, Tracy, thank you.
Just a little letting go for me was taking out the whole group video and just doing the speaker view with just a few people on, because I felt like my attention was going all over the place. And so I let go of the fact that I need to watch everybody.
I love that, Tracy. This is very wise. And I actually even was speaking to the team about this last week, and to other business partners, because I think there's a certain level of Zoom fatigue that is hitting people by the watching of everybody. It's like, I've got to pay attention to all the nuance of things. And also I want to share this with you today too. It's a good place to share it. Somebody was sharing with me, I don't know all the technical details, but there was a slight time lag. Just like time delay. It's like a millisecond or something in Zoom, but it kind of throws our brains off as well. We're used to somebody moving in real time and everything is just slightly delayed. And so there's an extra fatigue factor. And so only not looking at all the people moving and only focusing on the speaker, that one act could change your day. And again, yeah, so thank you for that. And we've been aware of all these things and we've worked to structure our days in ways that give you space, in ways that sometimes are focused intentionality, in ways sometimes I'm teaching, sometimes you're together, sometimes we've got space and you're doing it. Well, all these things are not happening by accident, right? And also we're learning as we go. It's always been a live retreat. So letting go of needing to see everyone. There's a letting go of control there too. It's like, I need to know everything that's happening in the room. Otherwise something bad might happen. There might be an edge of that. if you, and again, you might not be seeing all the raised hands, and oh, well, that's fine, right? If you ever think that there's a piece of you that likes to be in control, likes to make sure that you know what the schedule is, likes to make sure that you can, that the people around you are doing what you would like them to do. You might say, you can't see the steam's going all over the place. There's some part of you that likes things and likes to be in control. Raise your hand. I think the world is filled with us, right? So letting go of that control of, because that can be a manifestation of it, needing to see what everybody's doing so that I can know exactly how I'm supposed to fit in or what I can do to control my world. It's like, oh, what if I'm not doing that and just changing the screen itself, changing the view? It's huge. Small act and a sea change. I can be a whole different life. Thank you, Tracy. Love it. All right, let's hear one or two more ahas from just this chunk this morning in and around the Facebook page and letting go, the wall, not does it apply, how does it apply to me? Lots of different pieces that we were doing this morning, all coming out of the Facebook page and then letting go. Yeah, Barb, thank you.
Don't waste my powerful imagination on worrying.
Thank you. Thank you. I remember when I first started understanding that definition of worry, and especially with all my work for so many years in story, just kind of hit me right in the stomach like, oh, that's what I've been doing. That's also why I suggest that you start every morning with Shavasana. Because just because I know that's happening, I in the moment, there might be momentum of worry. That could be happening to you right now. Maybe it happened to you yesterday. Maybe it happened when you got up this morning. If you think you worried at least once this week, raise your hand. At least once this week, worry came up about something. Okay. So, and even for a second, like a flash of thought, like, oh, my socks might not be in the right place. Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. So noticing the finer tuning of worry that it happens moment by moment, right? So, I might not be able, I might be in the train of worry. Maybe it's gone on for a day or some people a week. Sometimes some people, do you know some people it's gone on for a lifetime? Yeah, it's sad, right? Maybe for us it's gone on for a week. It collectively for humanity right now, there's a lot of it out there, right? There's a kind of heightened energy of worry. It's like a bunch of people were using their imagination to, I see Steve, so one sec, to envision a future that they don't want. But if we can catch it sooner, sometimes we're in the midst of it and there's momentum. But Shavasana teaches us, there's a thought, it hasn't even formed yet. And it's about something I'm anticipating that's beautiful, but I'm training myself and I just let it go. Because right now my focus is here. It's an extremely powerful practice. Steve, go ahead.
I just have to share, I shared it in the chat yesterday, but I don't know if everybody saw it. One of my favorite sayings from my father said, don't tell me worrying doesn't help. The things I worry about never happen.
Right. And you know, it's funny. And humor comes from the dark side too. I did a whole day on comedy, on story and comedy with Robert McKee's, one of the premier story teachers on the planet. And boy, does he know it. He's so, you know, comedy comes from the dark side, comes from the things we worry about, comes from the things that are we're concerned about. It comes from the dark side. And so it's funny because it also has this grain of truth about it too, right? Isn't that sometimes how we feel? Well, you know, I got to hold the worry in the family. Nobody else is worried about this. If I don't worry about this, who will? You know, I'm not above any of these things where it's been placed for me. So it's like, this is the letting go day, right? And if we're using our powerful imagination for that, where are we not using it to envision our company, to envision what's possible, to envision a future for that person in front of us, to envision our talk going the best it's ever gone, to having our best Mother's Day ever, to having our best week ever? All that powerful imagination is like being drawn over here instead. And again, I'm not immune to these things, I promise. I'm learning this too. I'm so much better at it than I was, for instance, 10 years ago when Marie and I started doing the work together. and so much better than 20 years ago, or when I started doing this work with story over 25 years ago now. And where does my worry go? For instance, I noticed that I was the worry one in the family for a little while. Worried because my dad, who's in different stages of dementia, who confuses an email and a phone call sometimes, you know, like he's getting worse, right? And then he loves to go out. And is he going to remember that he's not supposed to shake somebody's hand? Is he going to remember that he just grabbed the door and then he came and, you know, put it in, and they're in their 80s? So I was doing my best to control the situation, right? Doing my best, like, yeah, here's all the reasons not to go out, Dad. Here's the fun things we can do at home. And then I started noticing both of these in me, right? Because you can't control everything. Sometimes we confuse loving kindness with control. Tomorrow's our loving kindness day. So I started letting go. Sometimes my dad's going to go out. Sometimes he's even going to forget that he's not supposed to shake somebody's hand. And he was really proud. My mom told the story proudly. Yes, don't worry. He's being really careful. When he took off his hat and he put it down on the counter, he asked them where to put it. And they said that they'd just cleaned that spot, so it's okay. And they thought that was like the triumphant moment. So yeah, they don't really get it. And then it was one of my accountability partners who said, you know, Michelle, remember too that there's a lot of good people in the world. And when your dad goes out, and he's not going out very often, but he's going out sometimes, the other people around will see. And there's so many good people around, and they're going to help. And then, like I do now, I had chills running through me. It's in me too. I'm not above any of this. That's why I keep teaching it, because I know it's what moves the needle. Where are you needing control? Where are you wanting to make sure that all the pieces are fitting in? Maybe it's the schedule. Yeah, it comes in different ways, right? Where are you needing control that when you go out there to your family, that they're going to be the way you want them to be so that the energy of the retreat can continue? Could be all kinds of places. Where is it that you want to most let go? And using our vivid imagination to envision something going wrong. Letting go of the destination, letting go of whatever it is for you. I know that when I let go of needing to be the one, and it came from a good place too. I got my parents out of Mexico. It would have been crazy if I hadn't been able to do that. And there was nobody in the family who knew that they needed to get out. And it started from them saying, hey, we're much better off in Mexico. We're going to just stay here. And they really needed to leave. They got on the last flight home. So sometimes it comes out of a deep care for the people in our lives. But then it edges over into control. And what is it to let it happen as it happens? Sometimes I need to let my daughter be miserable that day. Can I love her enough to let her be miserable? Can I love her enough to let her make what I think of as a bad choice? She doesn't make very many of them. She makes really good choices. It's like, oh, don't go there. What's the cost of that? Because then she doesn't get to make her own choices because I want her to be listening to somebody else instead. She listens to me. Who else is she going to be listening to? How about if she listens inside herself? Today is our letting go day. Yeah. Let's hear one more aha. Yeah, Steve.
Sorry, I had a question related to that. And that is, how do you tell the difference between, or how, when is it that trying to make accommodation for possible futures moves into worry?
Right. Yeah. I love that question. And it's perfect for the letting go day and perfect for what we've just been talking about. So let's go there. Here's something that I use often that I find extremely helpful. And I call it, and I'm not the one who's invented this, and perhaps you've heard it before, but hear it now in this context. You don't step in the same river twice. Making friends with the worst case scenario. Making friends with the worst case scenario. It's very different from using my powerful imagination to worry. It can sound on the surface the same, but to me it's very different. So I will give you an example. I don't think I told you guys about this, and I happen to be telling the story about my getting my parents out of Mexico and so on. So, so let me share this story. Maybe I did share it. Hear it now. Hear it in this context. When I decided to go on the cruise ship, it left March 6th. I had to think about it very carefully because I was paying attention to the news, and I think there were two cruise ships on the other side of the world that had been docked just as we were about to leave. And so this to Steve's point, sometimes we could just go, okay, well, la la la, I'm not listening. I'm in the present moment, and I'm just going to carry on with the course of action that is already laid out in front of me, whatever. So Steve is addressing a really important point. And so I could use my vivid imagination to worry. It's like, wow, I'm going to step on that ship and I'm going to be like, just, you know, all the worst things are going to happen. I could go there, or I could just cancel it because I'm like that. I'm really frightened, right? So what do you do? And you, if you've been in a situation where you needed to make a choice and it really mattered, raise your hand. This is my story, but it's all our stories, right? So sometimes we can hear better when it's somebody else's story. So I spoke for hours with my friend that I was traveling to the cruise with. And we were doing our best to make the decision. And her husband is definitely a worst case scenario kind of person. And he was like, don't step on that ship. Don't go. Right. And I wasn't sure. And so I thought, okay, well, what could happen? It's way across the world. Nobody at that stage was expecting a worldwide pandemic or to move so quickly and so on. But I knew that it was possible. And are you okay if I'm telling a kind of grim story? Everybody still with me? Everybody okay if I share? Anyone not? Okay. Okay, thank you. So so as I was speaking with my friend Jennifer, I said, okay, well, what could happen? Well, we know a ship has gotten docked and they haven't let people get off. So, you know, the ship could end up getting docked and we wouldn't be able to get off. Can I live with that? Well, I wasn't worried about that. I was just not, it was different from worrying about it. It was like just examining a possible future, but no attachment to it. It's just like one of those passing thoughts in Shavasana, because I've been practicing Shavasana daily at the beginning of my day for many, many, many years. And in yoga, we practice the same thing. Like I might think about, sometimes I explain it, oh, you guys can't quite see my knee, right? But in yoga, so I'm going to go to a yoga analogy and then I'm going to go back to the story about worry. All right. So in yoga, if we don't put our knee in line and it's out of line, over time, we're going to end up with knee pain. So if the teacher just says, you know, okay, oh, look, your knee is leaning in, just move it to the center. Our editors often go, why didn't you tell me that earlier? Oh, no, I'm doing it wrong. I must be bad. I'm not good at this yoga stuff. Oh, no, I probably did something terrible to my knee. And now something bad's going to happen. Like, that's worry. Iyengar yoga says, don't bother. The teacher says, your knee is over here, or I notice that my knee is over here, and I just go, oh, my knee is over here. I just need to move it. I move it here. Clarity of thought. And I learn that through practicing Shavasana every morning. There's a thought. I don't need to get engaged in that thought. It's just there. I let it go. Well, there's a, even if that thought comes up, it's like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. Oh, no, I'll just let that go. I just move my knee. So in that same respect, I go, okay, well, what could happen? Well, the ship could get docked. Can I live with that? We're making friends with the worst case scenario. Yes, I can live with that. And we started joking about it, actually. Well, you know, there was a guy that I'm going to tell the story in full because it's so important to the letting go day. Are you all still with me? You're all still hearing my story? Because what are we going to do? Yes, thank you. I'm seeing big nods. Okay, good. So, so we started joking about it because my daughter had shown me this guy in Wuhan, China, who was from England. Did you guys see him? She showed it to me long before anybody was paying attention to this and what the streets of Wuhan looked like. So I watched his video for 25 minutes and so many people were watching his video. And my friend and I are both entrepreneurs and we're like, we're just joking. And we know that people are dying. It's not that we're not sensitive to that. Do you get it? We know that that happens. But we're just looking at our own lives and we're going like, okay, well, we could get docked for a couple of weeks. Well, can I live with that? And we're just like, we checked and like, oh yeah, the ship's there. They still have internet. well, you know, our blogs are, you know, our viral, our video blogs are going to go viral and we'll get to serve more people. I can live with that. So we were joking about that, right? And then it said, well, okay, well then people were getting sicker, so we could get sick with this. Can I live with getting sick with this if I'm on that ship? Because it would be more probable. Well, if I got sick with it, you know, I'm not in the 20-year-old age group, but I'm not in my 80s either. And we didn't know too much about it yet, but you know, like sometimes we get sick. And so if I got sick, well, I'm pretty healthy. I'm pretty good. Like, yeah, I bet it'll be fine. Well, I'll get immunity. Probably we don't know if we'll have immunity yet or not, but you know, so like I'll be ahead of the curve, you know, I can live with that. And there wasn't any, did I have moments of worry? Probably, but was I engaged in that? No, I'm just looking at it, just like my knee, because I practiced in Shavasana, right? And then it's like, well, I could get really sick and I could die. That could happen. That could happen. So that's the train of thought. And I had a long conversation with my friend about it and we talked about it. We just talked about it. Can I live with that? And I actually just sat with that. You know, the Buddhists, some of the profound meditators, they will, I hope that this is not, hope this is not too much for you. If it is, go away for just a second. But we all have our dark moments and how do we deal with them, right? So the meditators, they will meditate beside bodies, you know, to remember that we die. So that we're not so pushing it away, so that we're not so like in the West, we just cover it. We don't want to think about it. And we talk about it all the time, but we don't face it. And it's one of the kleshas, causes of suffering, fear of death, clinging to life. It's klesha number 5. I've taught you about raga and devesha, clinging to things like hanging on and pushing away. Another one of them is the 5th one, abhinivesa, fear of death, clinging to life. The yogis say it's the deepest of the kleshas. Because we want to survive. So Jennifer and I faced the klesha of abhinivesa, fear of death, clinging to life. What if I died? Can I actually live with that result? Do I want that result? No. Would I prefer that? No. Can I actually, in all honesty, live with that result? What would happen? The first one I thought of is my daughter. She's got a good dad, you know? She lost her stepfather, but she's got a great dad. She's got a loving family. She's in her 20s now. She's doing well. She was the very first one I thought of. She'll be okay. I thought of you guys, you know, but hey, I've got an amazing team. You know, they would figure things out for you. I actually went through all those steps. Is it my preferred outcome? No. Do I feel that I've lived a good life and done everything that I can in this life that I've lived till now? Yes. Would I have an amazing time with my friend Jennifer as we were living through this? And would it be like my people on the cancer journey when I was teaching the healing word? Would it probably be some of the most amazing parts of my life, even though hard? I've watched people live and die on the cancer journey for years. Would I choose that? No. Would it be amazing? Yes. Would our video blogs, if that was the case, touch the world and change many, many lives? And isn't that what I'm here for anyway? That was my, I've not shared that in full, actually, I don't think, with other than a few close people. So this is the real answer to your question, Steve, right? So I just decided, I can live with that. And the only person that I needed to talk to about it was my daughter, right? I'm like, Dana, I'm planning to go on this cruise. But if you don't want me to, I won't. Can you live with this? What do you think? I know we could die, but I don't think it's likely, but you know, I already made peace with that. She says, Mom, don't say that. You know, like, don't tell me that. But she's like, you know, I understand why you would not go. And I get it if you're not going. And I also understand why you would go. You choose, Mom. Can you hear the, like, that's a case scenario where I'm thinking about my own death, right? So it's a pretty stark example. I thought this one would serve. And once I'd made peace with that worst case scenario, I'm not worrying anymore. Because I know that that was like, we're always pushing away that worst case scenario. It's like, not that, please not that. We're unconsciously doing that all the time. It's the klesha of abhinivesa, fear of death clinging to life. It's the hardest part of letting go. When I just go there, Maria, you and I have done some really powerful work in like heading straight toward the fear, heading straight toward the lion's roar, right? And the story about the lion's roar is that for prey for the lions, there's all the lionesses that line up on one side and the lion on the other side. And the prey come and the lion roars. And the prey, they're so frightened that they run away from the lion's roar into the lionesses and get killed. We so want to run away. If they headed straight for the lion's roar, they'd actually be safe. They could probably run past the lion and be safe. They run away from that. We're so afraid sometimes. In that case, because I knew it really mattered, I went straight for it. I did the same thing when I went skydiving. Dana was younger then, right? I used to think everybody who skydives is stupid. I'm sorry. I had a lot of judgment about it. And then I did it myself. I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't judge people, right? But same thing. And they made us watch a 15-minute video about all the ways you could die and you can't sue us, you know? As a lawyer. And then here's another way you could die. And then this person has died this way and you have no recourse. And he's like deadpan for 15 minutes, right? I made peace with that. I made peace with that with skydiving. I made peace with that getting onto that ship. And many other times in my life. And I am so grateful for that. I'm going into this in detail because today is our letting go day. And what a beautiful question that you've asked. How can I tell when that, you know, when my accommodation, making accommodation for possible futures moves into worry? Well, it never has to. It never has to. That's why the practice of yoga for me is so important, and why I started my day with not just Shavasana, but breath work, pranayama, every day, missing a handful of days since the summer of 2006. So it's coming up 14 years now. Because it gives me power in so many places in my life, including that conversation with my friend. So if this was too heavy, raise your hand or just give me a little wave because I have one more piece to, or if this was okay and helpful to you, raise your hand. This is some dark stuff, okay? This is helpful to you. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing the hands raised. Okay, can I add one more piece to it? Will you be able to hear? I'm looking around the room. Okay, because this is, I think, the deepest dive that we ever gone into in the Letting Go series. I've never talked about the possibility of my own death before in the Letting Go series, but you guys always over and over again are like, let's take it further. And so the teaching will happen at the level that you're asking the questions. And you know, Yvonne, Marie, have ever had this discussion like this before in Mexico? It's never happened. Never. They've been coming for years. All right. So, it's not once and done too. That's what I want to say about that, you know, worry energy. And if you catch yourself worrying, just notice and then practice like you do in Shavasana. It's like, I notice that, I let it go. I notice it and I can't let it go. Momentum has caught me, right? One of my teachers, I love the Abraham Hicks materials. They say it's like, actually I'm going to use one of their analogies. It's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. And you know, like the momentum has already caught me and I'm so angry with that person, or I so need the control, or it's like, I'm so worried. And then I try to fix it there right in the middle of it. And they say, that's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. Don't worry, it'll be over soon, you know? Except we don't go splat, right? They also give another analogy, this gentler. It's like when you're skiing down this hill and you imagine that you're tumbling, all right? And then right in the middle of it, you go, oh, I should stop rolling down the hill. You know, yeah, I mean, you're just gonna keep rolling down the hill, make the best of it. It's okay, just know that you're in the situation now and be gentle with yourself. You're caught in anger, you're caught in, you know, yelling at the person who you're having a strategy session with, or whatever it is, or a client or a friend or spouse or whatever. I'm in the middle of it. I'm going to be gentle with myself. I'm going to let go of the critique of myself that I should be better in this moment. It's another version of letting go. So I know that there's momentum and I just ride through it. So be gentle with myself in those moments. But that's why I want to catch it earlier. Their other analogy is like, imagine a car that's about to roll down a hill. know, like in the hills in San Francisco, they tell this story often. And you notice that the car starts moving, and so you just stand in front of it and stop the car. Is that possible? When the car has just barely started rolling. It's just barely started rolling. In Canada, we know that is possible because we stop and start cars because we have to push them out of the snow. People can push cars, you know, and people can stop cars. So we've done it, right? Yvonne, you know that, right? You know that you can stop a car when it's just barely rolling. You can get a car started with just people power. You can get the car stopped. We know this in Canada, right? But now I want you to, so take my word for that. You can, it's just barely moving. But now imagine that the car picked up momentum and it's headed toward the bottom of the hill, and now it's going like 70 miles an hour. At the bottom of the hill, do you think you want to try to stop that momentum with your body? It's going to hurt, right? So we just know that we're in the midst of momentum. We just are try to be gentle with ourselves. We just ride it out, and then we go the next day and do Shavasana in the morning, because we have a better chance of catching it earlier. We hit the restart button. We've taken a nap. We start over. And sometimes that'll happen in a strategy session, for instance. Let me see. It doesn't happen as often as it used to, but probably earlier on it happened with me more. Because people, if you know that, if you've had enough strategy sessions to know that sometimes people can push your buttons in strategy sessions, raise your hand. They say something you don't want them to say. If you've done enough of them, you know that happens sometimes. Or maybe you haven't noticed the subtle movements inside you, because we need to in order to be able to be with that person. Sometimes it's just like, hey, you know, we've got this and this and that done. Let's meet again next day. And then you can go away and meditate. You go away and do Shavasana, find a better center and actually serve that person better. And that can be the difference between a sale or not. So again, for those practically minded, how does this apply to my company? All of this directly applies to our companies, right? So letting it go when it's happening, being gentle with ourselves when we're in the midst of that momentum. But we can catch that. It doesn't ever have to come to worry. Did I have moments of worry? If I'm honest, I'm sure that I did on that whole cruise and in coming up to it. But it's hard to even think of them. Like I know that if they happen, they happen, and then I went through them pretty quickly. And I want to return to one more piece. Can I have your permission? Y'all still with me? Because it's a lot of one-way transmission here. Wasn't my intention, but I'm responding to the moment. And a really good question. Or you're going to be, you know, I'm going to get you into some groups and doing some of that in just a moment. Because it's hard to listen, especially on Zoom, to one person for quite a while. I'm aware of that. Right? I'm watching the energy. So if I can add one more piece to this story that I believe will help you, raise your hand. Just checking the energy. Okay, wow, good, fantastic. Okay. So having already made peace with the worst case scenario, and then this, it's an argument with your family. It's, should I stay with my partner or not? It's like, is this the right client? Is this the right business partner? Is it like all these major decisions, or I'm worried about, or how's COVID gonna, whatever it is, all right? This is like COVID inoculation, COVID story inoculation too. So it's a really good story to be telling right now. It happens to be one that's related to COVID too. It happens to be one about a ship. So as we were getting onto the ship, they were taking everybody's temperature as we got on. That was a new thing. We were happy about that. All right. And they were asking tons of questions. And if you'd been in China and if you'd been in, you know, anywhere that like you couldn't get on that ship. So we felt reasonably protected, and there was nothing anywhere in North America. Everything was fine. And then by the next day, I think it was, the Canadian government asked Canadian citizens not to get on cruise ships. Well, here I am. We had already made peace with the worst case scenario. Do you see the power of this? And I'm going to tell this story again in full. You maybe heard parts of it, but to unplug that worry, there couldn't be more important work in both this context, our context right now of this, you know, social distancing, et cetera, world, and in terms of our letting go day. I didn't know where we were going to go here, but here we are. Great place to go, the beginning of the letting go day. Yvonne, were we going to be doing something different? You know it, right? And I know there's plenty of time. We're going to get all to all the places that we're planning to get to. We always do. So on the ship, so we were on the ship, and now the Canadian government says don't get on ships. And one of the things that we were happy about too is that it felt like it was, I'm sorry, sometimes I'm judgmental. Will you let me show my judgmental side? I don't mean to be, but it's okay. We are everything, all right? So I thought, well, they kept all these people on the cruise ship with COVID and they didn't put them somewhere else. And then they got sicker and sicker. Well, I thought that was really, I get it why it happened to the first ship, but it happened to a second ship or whatever it was, or, you know, now it's happened to two ships and we were hearing the news. So it's like, well, that was a really stupid thing to do because that hasn't, there's more people with COVID in the world. And sorry, sometimes I'm judgmental, but that's, I'm just being real with you. So I was thinking, well, they clearly won't do that again because that was not a smart move. So then I was not worried. And then we started hearing about other ships and they were doing the same thing, right? But I was inoculated. I was protected because I'd already made friends with the worst case scenario. So my mind didn't start spinning forward. I'd already been there. I didn't have to spin forward. It was easy. And then it happened over and over again. And this sometimes, because otherwise spin and we waste energy. There was no energy wasted. So then we get 12 hours into our cruise and the captain comes on the, did I tell you guys this story? I don't think so. Okay. So the captain comes on and says, in very deadpan voice, and says, there are two people on the ship with medical emergencies. And so we're turning around and going back to Miami. And that's all the information we had. And the Canadian government has told us not to get on ships. And we see that the world situation is getting worse. You know, so we got their internet package so we could stay in touch, right? But we tried not to look at it, but we wanted to know what was going on. So we go back to Miami. And so then not out of worry, but just out of, I wonder if we can even get off. I wonder if this is COVID. I wonder if it's, you know, let's go ask if we can get off. And they said, yeah, you can get off. And so then we're like just deciding, well, do we want to get off or do we want to stay on? But none of it was about worry. Can you see the difference? Already made sense. Already made, like there, we weren't worried. We were just trying to make a good decision and not afraid to look at what could come. We already went there. So we went and found out, we were one of the people that found out that we could get off the ship. So then, Lord, do we want to get off the ship? Well, we can get off the ship. So I don't think we need to get off the ship. Let's stay on the ship. Let's stay on the ship. Because what are we going to do if we get off anyway, right? And I was being taught by Esther Hicks and amazing spiritual teachings that would help, are helping me here and now, are helping in the world. We're going to stay on. And then we found out that they wouldn't let us off anyway. So now we still don't know what's going on, right? And then we go another, so we travel back 14 hours and they're telling us we're going to have to miss Aruba. So we're going to have to miss our photo shoot. I could have been worried about that, but it's like, oh, well, we're going to miss our photo shoot because we have to skip Aruba now. And it sounds like we're still on our cruise. Okay, maybe things are fine. And then we're 14 hours in and they say, I'm sorry, there's two people with medical emergencies on board. We're going back to Miami. Now, yes, thank you, Barb, right? That was the state of mind of many people on the ship, although people stayed pretty balanced, I'd say. Like the Abraham group, they're spiritually trained, and there are other people on the ship too, but I know some people, I'm sure, were freaking out. We weren't freaking out. We were just trying to make good decisions. And then, so then we went back, we dropped those people off. It turned out it was unrelated, but the captain, I think, was just being extra cautious too. I don't know what they had. Maybe somebody had, whatever it was, it wasn't COVID. And we started going back. And then when they finally let us off the ship, I have never seen such a group of happy people before. The joy that I got to experience as I stepped off that ship with everybody, I'd have missed if I'd been caught up in the worry. More happened beyond then. You don't need to hear the rest of the story. You get it. The power of making friends with the worst case scenario. And actually, that's so important. I'd say let's add that to the whiteboard. The whiteboard is especially about the craft of writing, right? The craft of writing, but some of these other inspirations, I want to put them up there too. Make friends with the worst case scenario. And underneath that, you could put, use my powerful imagination for good. Create empowering stories. And you're hearing another level of what I put in Anatomy of an Empowering Story. When I say create empowering stories, I really mean it. So that I'm in the driver's seat of my own story. And you can put down unplug the kleshas. Kleshas is K-L-E-S-H-A. Unplug the kleshas. And you can put in brackets the fetters, the things that bind us, like fear of death clinging to life. We've never had that on the whiteboard before, but this will help you remember this moment. How can I use my powerful imagination for good? And the next time you hear somebody worry about COVID, worry in your family, worry about your business, can you make friends with the worst case scenario? And if you are already in that momentum of, oh my God, what's going to happen? Don't try to do it in that moment. And then also get loving support. Lean in with this community. Have somebody holding space for you as you're working through that. I worked through that scenario with my friend Jennifer, and we have a similar mind state. We were able to do that together. I'm like, okay, so I might die. What do you think about that? What would be the ramifications? And we're just discussing it. All good. All good. Okay. Let's hear, anything bubbling up, wanting to be said. Yeah, Sherry, go ahead.
So as you were talking about making friends with the worst case scenarios, what kind of popped into mind, especially, and you reinforced it when you talked about creating empowering stories out of it, is this can be a very powerful tool in creating alternative scenarios. Yes. If this happens, then we could do this. If this happens, we could do that. This happens, this. And it's very powerful in our businesses. And one of the probably real end results of that is creating a business continuity strategy if the worst case happens to our business. And we've seen situations over the last several months where having a business continuity strategy could have made the difference between survival and death of a business.
Oh, Sherry, this is beautiful. Yes, if we only got here through this whole week, how powerful is that? Right? And so another thing to add to the whiteboard, I want to put it something like this. Let go of the idea that there are only two options. Dash, there are multiple stories. You can put in brackets, Sherry. I might help you remember that point. Okay? Because so often our worry imagination goes like, okay, either I'm going to keep the business open and this and that bad thing is going to happen, or I'm going to close the business and that bad thing is going to happen. Either I'm going to go talk to the teacher of my kid because this bad thing is happening to them and they're going to blow up at me and then the teacher won't like, or I'm going to do this. Like, what a paucity of imagination. What a minimalized imagination that we have in those moments. And using our powerful, usually it's two scenarios we don't want. That's the power of story. There are just two options. Sherry talked about it so beautifully. There's multiple branches all along the way. There's 100 different options, at least in front of us. And then we get to make strategic choices. As we've let go of that control, let go of that worry, let go of the idea that there are only two options. And that could relate to, Steve started out this train of thought here and with this question. And it could be something like, the example I think of too is Steve's, well, either I'm going to fill every one of my sections for those workshops, you know, or something bad is going to happen. We do that so often, but we don't need to. And Steve's like, wait, I could have 20 people over here and two people over here. And maybe the one with two is the best. Can you see that's opening out different possibilities? It's one of many things that could happen. All of a sudden, I get to choose. All of a sudden, I'm in the driver's seat and I'm not imagining two worst case scenario and using my powerful imagination and leaking energy everywhere. There's 100 different things I could do. And that branching off that happens, I wasn't going to tell you, so thank you for that, Sherry. I wasn't going to tell you this next piece of the story, but I am going to tell you the next piece of the story because it works like that. We can continually branch off and just as like, let me move my knee back into place. So we all got off at our first stop in the Caribbean and everybody is happy dancing. It's like, I guess it wasn't coronavirus that they wouldn't have let us off. It's like, we're fine, and there's two people are off, and people were happy dancing in the streets. I will remember that moment the rest of my life. I'm so glad I was on that ship. I'm so glad for what we experienced in the choice and decision in and around it. as well. So then we got to Aruba. They decided we could go to Aruba just a different day. Living life, this connects with the living life as a reverse paranoid. The universe conspires to support us. We didn't freak out when we had to cancel our photo shoot in Aruba. We were going to meet with him in the afternoon. I'm like, I'm sorry, the ship can't dock. We're not going to see you. But then we docked on Thursday, but it was going to be Thursday and we're docking in the morning. He says, I'm busy in the afternoon, but I can meet with you in the morning. And we had the most amazing photo shoot. And instead of keeping us 3 hours, he kept us all day and only charged us for a small part of it. Everything happens for a reason. That reason is there to serve us. We had a beautiful photo shoot Thursday, March 12th. We got back to the ship at 6 o'clock and found out that a worldwide pandemic had been declared. Sometimes we were getting the news, sometimes we weren't hooked into it, right? A worldwide pandemic had been declared and there were no flights. All the flights from Europe to the US had been canceled. And we're like, oh, it's just gotten a lot worse. We were at another one of those decision points. We could get off in Aruba because now we don't know. Now it's looking more certain that more probable that they're not going to let us dock if it's that bad. And more ships now were docked and in off the US and getting sicker. So we're like, now what? And the same thing, we're just trying to make a decision. And so what we did was we did a couple of things. And again, this whole process changed my life. And so I want to share this with you. It's about letting go. It's about the empowering stories we create. It's about unplugging that klesha of abhinivesa, fear of death clinging to life, because that's running the show for most entrepreneurs most of the time. I've not usually taught that because it's a little bit dark and grim. I don't usually go over there, but you guys, you're asking powerful questions, so powerful answers are coming. These are the cutting edge answers in my life and in my company, right? So then we're like, well, we just got back on the ship and we're supposed to sail away at 8 o'clock. Now we're not sure if we can get off again. And there's a good probability that it's just going to be docked. We're not sure, but like life has just gotten much more serious. So then we're like, okay, now should we get off? So we contacted the ship, and again, we're not worried. We're just trying to make a good decision. So we contacted ship authorities, and they said, yes, you could disembark in Aruba, you have to do so by 6 o'clock. You have to do so by 7 o'clock, and you have to have your hotel, and you have to have your flight out of Aruba, and but the consulate is closed until tomorrow, so you can't talk to them until tomorrow to find out whether they will let you leave or not. But then we might end up with a ship that's docked. Well, we're not worried because we already made friends with the worst case scenario. But we have an hour, and in that hour, we'd have to book our flight. She needs to talk to her husband. We need to book our hotel room, and we need to decide if we can live with that with the consulate. So we did two things. What would you have done then? You know, how do we make decisions? We did what my friend has taught me to do. We had some chocolate in the room. It's like, hey, it's hard to make this decision. Let's flip a coin. We didn't know we didn't eat the chocolate. Heads we stay, tails we go. And the chocolate told us to stay. But then we're still wanting to reinforce this, you know, like we're pretty sure we're going to stay on the ship. But, you know, can you hear the lightness around this? It's not that we're underestimating what's happening. But we're in a different place than many people would have been. So we flip the chocolate. It says stay. And then Jennifer says, I think I need to meditate on this. And her husband's saying, get off now. So she, and we also have, the clock is ticking. So I'm like, yes, that's a good idea. I want to meditate too. So we both meditate for 5 minutes. I open my eyes. I said, what'd you get? She said, I got all is well. I said, I got the exact same words. All is well. Stay here. I'm not worried. It's all good. So we stayed. So happened we were able to get off the ship. We didn't know until we docked, until we actually got off, that we were getting off. I've not told that complete story to anybody that I can remember. Not in full, not all the details. But that's an answer to Steve's question. Because it's a powerful, powerful question and could not be better aligned with our letting go day. Make friends with the worst case scenario. Practice Shavasana first thing in the morning. understand that when we know about empowering stories, that there's not just two bad options, which is what people often do. And know that when somebody comes to you in a strategy session, they're probably locked into something like that. Well, like for Carly's work, for instance, you know, either I'm going to hire an architect and it's going to be too much money for this project, or I'm going to have a crappy project and you know, it's not going to be the way I want. That's probably, when she knows that, that's probably the mindset of that person coming in. What power she has in that conversation when she has practiced that there's more than one story, that there's multiple stories, the very thing that Sherry was talking about, and that she's practiced it knowing that that's probably going to come up in other people, and that also practiced it for herself, because disempowering stories and worry tends to be contagious, like it is out there in the world right now, right? So if Carly doesn't pick up that bug because she recognizes it sooner, and these people are caught in the klesha of Abhinivesa in that moment, fear of death, clinging to life, often manifests as a fear of change. Well, we can't go with this different route of architecture than we have before because, like, people get tight. Fear of death, clinging to life, often manifests as a fear of change. So if Carly caught that bug, she would go, oh no, either I'm going to lower my prices to nothing or they're not going to like my work. And, you know, like, right? So she picks up that either or story and both, you know, using her powerful imagination to worry. And that is how many sales conversations go. That's how many conversations go. That's how many things in the world are going right now. Like, listen to the news. Either we're going to open up these stores and people are going to get sick again, you know, or we don't open and all the businesses are going to fail. Like, if you've heard some stories out there right now like that, raise your hand. If you feel like there might be more stories than that that are possible, even if you don't know what they are right now, raise your hand. Like, it's about the story. It's always about the story. So then Carly notices that they've got just these, they're using their powerful imagination to worry. And then she lets go of the spark in her that, you know, because that tends to bring up that in another person, but she's trained in story and she knows there's multiple options. And actually, this is related to the work that we did in the last private, isn't it? To create those other options that are possible first inside ourselves and then enter into that conversation, and the words are going to be entirely different from that place. The title of this retreat, Embodied Words, Be Heard by Those You're Meant to Serve. One of the things is to unplug that vivid imagination of worry, to let go, and to know that there are multiple stories, as Sherry just taught us. Really, really powerful. All right. Let's hear one more aha. Wendy, thank you.
This is so interesting, this whole story, because then I had a really similar story, like a week later after you got off the ship. If you remember, I got on an airplane and went to Mexico, and I learned the power of listening to my own intuition, because at one point I got multiple text messages from Michelle that felt like they were in a very worried mind. Mm-hmm. And it was like, get on a plane and come home right now. You don't understand. And so I had this person that I really look up to that really does a lot for me. And she was telling me that I needed to get on a plane and come home. But yet my intuition told me that I could, like, that I was okay to stay in Mexico. It was really interesting. We did end up coming home a couple of days later, because I had to keep going through that process of, okay, circumstances have changed. Things are moving rapidly every single day. Am I still okay with, have I still made peace with worst case scenario?
Yes, beautiful.
Started beautiful. Like, shutting down, and they closed the resort that we were at. We really had to say, like, are we okay with being homeless in Mexico? Because there would be nowhere for us to go if everything's closed. So we came home 2 days earlier, but stayed much longer than many people were comfortable with, and had one of the best vacations of our lives.
Beautiful decision-making process. Can you hear it? And whether you think, oh, you know, I should have been on the ship. I shouldn't have been. Wendy should have stayed. She should have gone. Can you hear that it's not about that? Because every person would make their own decision, but how that decision got made Fantastic. And yes, I was sending texts. It's like, because I'd so closely monitored the situation in Mexico, and I was hearing about things that were happening before other people were hearing it. And so I wanted to make sure that Wendy had information. And then also, it could have sounded like, you know, freak out, worry. I don't think that I was freaking out and worrying. I hope that I wasn't. And I hope that I wasn't creating that in you, but it could have been, you know, like, don't, like, even our teachers, even our mentors, even our friends is like, what is it to find my own compass through that? And Wendy, fabulous. Everything happens for a reason. That reason is there to serve me. How you found your own compass through that, I love that. Beautiful and brilliant. Yeah, thank you. All right, anything else bursting to be said? Okay, let me just think for a moment. Because there's one of, there's many options, but there's two that I'm choosing among, or between. And I just want a moment to decide. Yeah, this is really powerful work. This is very, very powerful work. So I want to give you 5 minutes in actually, I was 5 minutes in a small group, actually. 5 minutes in a small group to process this for yourself. Because if you only heard what happened, who gets it? And I'm not attached to the answer. If I were, it would cause me suffering. But who gets it that you, if you really actually heard and could implement what was what we talked about this morning, that that would be worth the entire retreat? And that could change the course of your business if you really heard it. Yeah, you're getting it. Worth 5 minutes? For sure, right? So do you want 10 minutes to two? I think that's an even better idea. I was just trying to go 5, 7, 10 minutes. I'll put you in a group of, let me see, 3 or 4 so that you've got different minds there. And I'm gonna let you run how you run that discussion. Watch how you're playing. You could decide to give every person a minute and just listen to them. You could decide to have a free-for-all discussion. And also, somebody probably is going to make a suggestion and make the decision or encourage a decision about how to organize it. Just watch how you're playing. There's not a wrong way to do it, whatever your group decides. Do you hear that? I'm leaving you freedom because we've got 10 minutes. I can't leave you freedom with 1 minute or the whole minute will go by. Don't spend the whole 10 minutes deciding how you're going to organize it. If 1 minute has gone by and you haven't organized how you're going to organize that discussion, the first person who says how you're going to do it, say something, and then you organize it that way. Got it? So that's your fail-safe. If 1 minute you haven't said, should we go one person at a time? Should we go? Just notice how you're playing, all right? Because I want to leave you freedom. You might want just a free-for-all of flowing minds. You might want to stop and actually listen to all of what that person has to say. You get to decide as a group, right? So 10 minutes, you're in groups of 3 or 4 people. Anything else needed? And just it's like, here's my aha. Here's what's happening for me in this. Here's how I want to implement this. You choose how to use that time. What has this been for you that you want to receive and allow to get deeper into yourselves and hearing what others have heard, okay? So anything else needing to be said without which we can't go into these groups yet? Okay, perfect. Let me find your groups for you. Create the rooms. Okay. I just have to play with one of the rooms for a second here. Okay, give me 1 second. Just breathe. Be here. Oh, hang on, one more thing. Okay, I think I got it. You should have a room of 3 or 4 people. If you don't, so be it. Be with who you're with, all right? You've got 10 minutes from now. Remember to click the button to get over to your room. Let this time be all that it can be for you. We just did some amazing work, but don't let it go to your editor. Just let it bubble up, whatever it is inside you, trust that. Don't think about what you're gonna say. Listen to that other person too. Remember that. Okay, have a great time, you guys. I'll see you in 10 minutes. Oh, it's a Star Trek moment again as everybody pops into the room. I'm so glad. Who was it mentioning that it's like Star Trek? Who said that yesterday? Were you in the room when they said that?
Yeah, I did hear it, but I can't remember. Was it Steve?
I'm always going to think about that now as the Star Trek moment. and that's one of those things about enjoying what we actually have. We for me anyway, the kid in me would miss that Star Trek moment if we were alive. Yes, would it be nice if we could stick our toes in the sand? Yes. But am I loving every time that we get this Star Trek moment? Absolutely. It's just, I don't know. I never get sick of it. It's so beautiful. All right. I think that's everyone. So how did it go in those rooms? Helpful? Yes, good. All right. Let's hear at least from someone from each of the rooms. Again, it won't be a summary of everyone's experience in that room, but let's hear from, you know, four or five of you, just a sentence or two, a little bit about what struck you, what's your aha, so we can hear a little bit about what's going on in the different rooms. And again, no attachment, let go of hearing. We won't hear everything that happened over there. And thanks, Jasmine. But we'll hear something from, if you notice that nobody in your room has spoken yet, it might be you. Jasmine, go ahead.
So in our room, we shared quite a few of the personal experiences that we're going through with COVID and the pandemic, and how the worst case scenarios that we are up against are ones of death, are ones that don't impact us necessarily, are ones that we have very little actual control over. And so we got to the point of, yes, we need to make friends with that worst case scenario and decide if we can live with that. But we also need to go a step further and think about how can we live with that and make a plan of what that actually looks like to live with that after the worst case scenario, and how that is very necessary for us in our businesses and in our personal lives, which obviously impacts how we run our businesses.
I love that. Whether it's our businesses, our COVID, or our personal life, or whatever the scenario is. And for me, I've told you that story, and this retreat is reminding me of that one. That's probably why I was writing about my man. I don't always write about him all the time anymore, but like, so, okay, he's dead. Now what? Now what do I want to have happen? Well, one of the options is that, oh, right, I'm headed into a retreat. It's going to be the best one ever in my life. Something to move forward to. How do I live with that now? The worst case scenario in that sense that has already happened. And now what future do I want to move into? How do I use that that vivid imagination that I have to see options in front of me wherever it is that I'm standing? Including that COVID world and whatever it is, we all have different things sitting in front of us because of it. But it's not just those two possibilities, there's so many. And then I love that piece that you added. How do I live that with that? What would it mean to be at peace with that? What kind of letting go would be required to be radically okay with that? Sherry Huber, a wonderful spiritual meditation teacher, she says, you know, all we need to do in order to be at peace is to accept all that is totally unacceptable to us. It sounds horrible. Like, what? I don't want to accept the unacceptable to me. But it's like, well, it's like making peace with the worst case scenario. Well, and so it is, and that's what is. And I'm good with that and the world, and now what? There's such power in that. It's amazing. And I love what Thich Nhat Hanh says too. He said, you know, one person who is, that when the Vietnamese were coming in landing on the shores of North America with nothing, and sometimes in horrible conditions, and sometimes all of them would die. But if there was just one person on the boat who maintained clarity and had a groundedness and presence of mind, they would all live. And the way that in the Abraham Hicks teachings, they say, you know, one person who is aligned is more powerful than millions who are not. So this kind of thinking is extraordinarily powerful for ourselves, for our personal lives, for our businesses, for the world. Thank you, Jasmine. Beautiful. Let's hear from the other rooms. And just whoever starts speaking first, don't worry. Other people will get a chance to speak at another time too. And you don't have to be a spokesperson for the room. You just want to hear a little bit about from each of the rooms and just notice how you're playing too. So someone else, I want to hear from all the rooms. Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, I've been processing through the whole thing sort of in the present moment and trying to decide if I should take care of myself and just go away. Because I was getting fidgety and anxious and my body's getting tense. And yeah. Anyway, so through the group, I worked through the, I didn't want to leave because I thought I was afraid I would miss something mm-hmm. and I was afraid I would be forgotten. And now, just as you're talking, I've worked through, it's sort of processed through, it's okay if I miss something. I can be, why not? I can be okay with that. Mm. And then if I've forgotten, I can always come back and be remembered.
Do you hear the ease in that? Do you hear the power in that? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think that's another one of those moments, you know? Yvonne, will you help us? Look at Yvonne's face. It's like, oh no, where'd the controls go? Count us in, Yvonne.
Okay.
I just realized that I'm totally backwards. If Mary Kay is like this, it might even be worse for her. Sorry about that, Mary Kay, but it's truly a moment of celebration.
I'm
this
going to
wonderful.
Mute everybody and unmute you.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, I was just saying that might have been just the wrong thing for Mary Kay. Right? Oh, wait, did it again. Okay, now I'm unmuted. Comedy of errors, right?
We got
what
it.
I was saying, third time got it. That might have been just the wrong thing for Mary Kay. If there's like nerves rattled a little bit, it's like, oops, that's really loud. But worthy of celebration, you know? Huge, so worthy of celebration. And afraid I'd miss something, afraid I'd be forgotten, and knowing those sentences too. And then doing the play of transmuting that at another time too, like both coming to peace with that and then seeing where else that might be playing in my company. And then and allowing there to be peace. So many layers of why that's beautiful, Mary Kay. I love that. Thank you. It's okay if I miss something. If I'm forgotten, I'll be remembered again later. I can always step back in. What a beautiful mantra for all of us too, right? Human fears, you know? It's not. It belongs very specifically to Mary Kay. And also there's a measure of that. Has anybody ever been worried that they'd miss something? Right? Ever worried that people are going to forget you? No, right? <That's>, you don't know, never. We all have these worries sometimes, and what is it to let that go? Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Let's hear from, I can't remember how many rooms there were the five of them? I think so. Well, you know if nobody's spoken yet from your room, and we've only heard from two of them, so let's hear from the other rooms. A very different thing is going on. And again, it might be very individual to that person. It doesn't give us the window into everything in that room, and we can let it go. We didn't hear everything there. We heard what we were meant to hear, but this is powerful enough that I want to hear from something from each of the rooms. Yeah, Carly, thank you.
I think I'm just going to speak mostly for myself here, but just this was really powerful for me because thinking of imagination for me has always been like a wonderful way that I can get my mind off of things, you know, going and creating and doing what I love. And, but I, on the other hand, in the past have punished myself for worrying. Don't think like that. You know, that's going to hurt you. That's negative thinking. There's that. And, this was really powerful for me because it was really looking at my imagination more as a tool that I can use to examine and not necessarily go down a huge line of worry, but being more comfortable with using it as a tool so that I can look at things more holistically rather than shutting a thought down or diving into something so negative.
Brilliant. I love the nuanced layers of awareness in this. And that previous version of Carly, bless her, but who would punish herself, because now it's already changed, right? Who would punish herself for worrying. There's that piece too around, well, you know, there's already a momentum going. I'm already tumbling down the hill or whatever. Like, it's okay. I'm just there. The ease and gentleness around that, that's possible. And then the idea of imagination as a tool. So I get to use it. And that what maybe previously would be worry now could be, I'm just going to go down and see that. You know, I can just look at it and it's okay. And I don't have to be afraid of it because the kleshas are tricky. The klesha of devasia, right? Pushing away. It's like, no, don't worry. That's bad. I can't do that. If I ever do that, the world's going to fall apart. That's just devasia and it's a different klesha. And now I'm in the klesha now I'm suffering again because I'm pushing it away. What if I can just look at it as a tool, embrace it and see when it's happening. And maybe I'm starting to walk down the road of worry, but maybe it's just a scenario and I can step into it and play with it. And I just remember, it reminds me what a powerful imagination I have. It reminds me what a powerful creator I am. And that don't worry, because if I start to worry, well, that's okay. And then I'll just have a nap. I'll go meditate. I'll go turn the corner and maybe there'll even be something fruitful there when I see that it's just one of the many options. And maybe I'll flip some chocolate and I'll flip a coin and go that way to bring multiple levels of ease to that and joy around this very, and Carly, you are so creative. You have such imagination and we all have access to that. Don't let that go to your editor, right? We all have that, but Carly, you express it so beautifully and you so live and have developed that beautiful quality of imagination and visual imagination. How wonderful to create more freedom in and around that to play. Thank you. Love it. Yes. All right. Let's hear from, are there two other rooms? Yvonne, thank you.
Yeah. So in our room, we also talked about COVID and how it brought out, the biggest, worst case scenario for a lot of people in business, myself included.
Yeah.
Right. It was one of those holy shit moments. You know, what am I going to do now when you see, a lot of your income disappear?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then having to think really outside of the box.
Right.
And be very creative to come up with new ways of doing business.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. And so people out there are often living that, but they're living that worst case scenario in ways they're not necessarily productive. But how we can engage in that and see that. And, many different ways of looking at, there are always multiple stories. One thing that, and some of you might even be offended by this. Some of you might love this. Some of you might go, my mom is in her 80s and she's a retired nurse and she worked with the elderly. You know, it was common for her to go to work and she'd come home and Mrs. So-and-so died and Mr. So-and-so died. I mean, very close to life and death and not attached to it. And often she's the one, if somebody's dying in the family, they want my mom to be around. You know, she's just very matter of fact and very real with things. And as she's watching all the rising panic with COVID, and she is in the age group to watch, she's in her 80s. And she says, I remember when there was polio and we all didn't know. And I remember when, she worked on the ward with TB and all the other nurses were afraid. They wouldn't do it, but she worked on that ward. It's like, hey, they paid us a little bit more and I wanted to take care of those people. And so she had to be checked for TB for years, because it was dangerous work. And a ward filled with tuberculosis. And she said, and I remember in the old days, she said, they used to call the pneumonia, she said, they used to call it old people's friend. because sometimes they lived on and they were really unhealthy and they were really, and it, you know, and I'm like, mom, you know, so she's saying, well, this COVID, you know, I don't know, maybe like, mom, you know, like, don't say that to other people. They might not like it. And, but she's saying, like, she has the most right of anybody to say she's in her 80s, you know. What are the many different ways to look at it? And so Yvonne talking about that pivoting and look at, like, how do I look at this differently? Multiple ways to look at it, many different stories possible, not just these two worst case scenarios that I'm choosing from, right? Or these two, not worst case scenarios, but two disempowering stories, these two, you know, imagination used as worry. Thank you, Yvonne, beautiful. So I think there's one more room, right? Are there five rooms? Or was that it? I don't have the number of rooms in front of me. Did anybody come from a room where nobody spoke? Okay, well, then let me say this. Is there anybody who, with somebody, anything bubbling up, wanting to be said? Because certainly not all the experiences are represented here in this larger room. But you got a chance both to hear and to express, because this is really powerful stuff that you guys have brought up here. Anything else? Yeah, Wendy.
One of the things that we talked about, Dottie made mention that most of what, like she was talking about supporting someone who is recovering alcoholic, and that when they really get to the bottom of things in that program, it's always fear-based. There's always an underlining fear in people's lives. And then how people try to deal with that fear, whether it's an addiction, lots of addiction, shopping, I mean, lots of addictions, right? Shopping, alcohol, food, there's so many others. And we just talked about, like, the real true antidote to fear is love, and loving ourselves and loving other people and loving that presence that is so much bigger than us. And I think it has so much to do with trusting that there is something so much bigger than us in control in our lives, and letting go of that need to be in control and just spreading love.
Mm. Well, we are perfectly timed. I love this, because we are starting to head toward our subject matter for tomorrow. We know that the world is abundant yesterday. There's many, many possibilities, plenty of time. There's lots of, plenty of words that will land, plenty of all, when we really can live that and know that. Yeah, this is ancient wisdom. This isn't something new, right? But it's actually embodied. And then when we can let go, because sometimes to actually even recognize that abundance, we need to let go of preconceived ideas, let go of the worry, let go of our ideas about who our ideal client is or how we run our business, all kinds of letting go, right? Well, and as we let go of a number of things, and we create space, what are we going to fill that with? You know, because if we don't put something there, often the same old stories come rushing in. Or the fear comes rushing in, and what's the antidote to that? What do we want to put at the center instead? And I love that you said love is the antidote to fear. What is it to approach things with heart first? And we'll dive into that further, over this week. So love that. Yes, thank you. All right. Anything else bubbling up, wanting to be said? Great work, everyone. Not at all the block I was expecting. We were going to be doing some of this work in the second half of this morning. It reversed order and also went in a direction that I didn't know. That's letting go of how it's supposed to be for something better. When it comes up in this way, I'm not going to go, no, sorry, can't go there. I have a plan. Because this, what a better way to get there. Beautiful. Love it. All right. What we're going to do from here is we're going to take a break. We're going to come back to another block. We're not going to move till this afternoon, and there's going to be space as well this afternoon. All right. So I just want to give you a little bit of what's to come. We had lots yesterday, lots of things yesterday. So we're going to close out this circle with just a word or two or three, so that there's a bit of a mini bow. We never completely wrap it up, but a bit of a mini consolidation of this block. And then we're going to take a break until 11:30 my time. All right, so we're going to have a good chunk, a good break, 11:30, and then we'll come back for another segment, because I had you all watch Peaceful Warrior. And no judgment, because some of you might have got there, some of you might not have. I'm seeing thumbs up. All. Who got a chance to watch it last night? Wow, fantastic. Who did not? No judgment. It's okay if you didn't. It doesn't matter. It's all right. Okay, no problem. You've got it ahead of you. And are they lucky that they have it ahead of them and they're going to get to watch it another time? Like, oh my goodness. that's something wonderful coming, right? So I want to dive into that after the break. What did you love? How does this dovetail with the things that we're doing here? What matters most to you? What did you find fun in that film? I just think that's an extraordinary film. I've watched it umpteen times. I watched it again last night. I mean, beautiful, beautiful film. So let's wrap up this block. We'll come back at 11:30 Mountain Time, and we're going to have some fun and play with Peaceful Warrior. And I'm going to give you a powerful little exercise as well. You're not going to want to miss it. It's something that 3 years ago changed my life, changed my world. It's simple, it's powerful, and I've never shared it in a group in this way before ever. So we'll come back to it at 11:30. So let's close. Anything bursting to be said or needing to know before we close the circle? And yes, Jasmine, it's a film, Peaceful Warrior. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. And don't worry if you haven't seen it. You'll be able to participate in the discussion. It's not a problem. And then you'll have the fun of it afterwards. Yeah, Marie, go ahead.
Is this where you want me to put the link for signups in the chat?
Not yet. We'll do that in the next block. And the next
just
block.
Just trying to figure out what's going on.
Thank you, Marie. Yes, because as team knows, I'm changing things from what you guys know. But I'll let you know what's happening.
Okay.
Because some things are shifting and moving. So I'll let you know as soon as we're off. And thank you for that, Marie, for not letting me forget. That's going to come up in the next block. So thank you for that. And that was perfectly, exactly appropriate because, you know, we really did shift things, right? As you guys know. All right. So anything else wanting to be said? So thank you, Marie. Thank you for that. Okay. So what's opening for you now? Our words are a gift. They're not a performance. I mean, yes, we perform. We can perform. But when we think of our words as a gift that we're sharing with another, it changes the energy. What's the gift that you want to share of something that bubbled up inside you? And don't try to think about it beforehand, because then it's not a gift. Then it's stealing attention away from the other person. We want it to be a gift. So we just let it arise in the moment, whatever words come, and we trust that. And then and that's that letting go too. It's a deep letting go of needing to know what I'm going to say, so that I can open to listening to another and receive more gifts from this wrap up. This is one of my favorite times always, is wrapping up, hearing what you heard. I learn. I'm here facilitating, and I learn when I hear your ahas. It's beautiful. And then don't let that go to your editor. It's got to be something big. No, whatever's in front of you, pick that. Teresa, you're up in my left-hand corner. You're up first.
I kind of shared this in our groups. One of my favorite things to do in the world has always been pulling a skill out of my hat and running with it. And all this, all the words, and I just flash back to my former profession, and it's like, oh yeah, that was so much fun. Even in the most dire, at actual life and death, and horrific, the worse it was, the more I would say, this is Christmas. I get to unpack this. And I was laying on the floor because I was stiff and listening. And it's like, the more I laid there, the more I wrote. Everybody's talking about worry, and my brain was just exploding.
Beautiful. Can you hear the power, the energy, the alignment of this? Teresa, beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Yvonne, you're next.
To not push away, you know, the worst case scenario, to face it head on and just come up with ideas and, you know, what could happen, and then take it from there. But make friends with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. We did some related work, kind of sort of related, in that one private that we did recently. That's how I think of it anyway. So I don't know if you're connecting that or not, but go there, make friends with it, and now what? Mm-hmm. Yes, fantastic. Thank you. Yes. Steve.
It's all about the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Not just best case, worst case. There's a whole range.
Lovely way to put it.
And don't get, yes. and don't get stuck.
So easy to see some of that happening out there. It doesn't have to happen. It just doesn't have to happen. What freedom there is in this. Yes, thank you. Marie.
I'm struck by the storytelling. Like, worry is just another story. And if I can create a worst case scenario, I can create a best case scenario. The imagination is really powerful.
Beautiful. Love it. Yes. Thank you. Carly.
Imagination is a diverse, multidimensional tool, and it's my favorite one.
Love it. Thank you. Yes. Sherry.
There's a lot to be learned from worry. It doesn't have to be a rabbit hole. It could be the jumping off point for endless creativity.
Oh, I love that. How does that feel, right? Endless creativity, yes. Thank you. Dottie. Oh, and Dottie, you're muted.
Sorry. There are more than two choices.
Yes, thank you. That alone is company changing when we really hear the depth of that and what that means. Yeah. Thank you. Wendy.
I just loved writing down, stop using my wild, beautiful, genius imagination to tell a horrible, terrifying future story.
Thank you for that. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. Barb.
To recognize the abundance, you have to let go and make space. And then what are you going to fill that with?
What a beautiful energetic summary of yesterday, today, where we're going tomorrow. Many other things are happening at once as well that we're doing. We're working on many layers. But that as the trajectory of our days, brilliant. Yes, thank you. Tracy.
Making friends with the worst case scenario, but then letting it go.
Thank you. Yeah, beautiful. Lindsay.
I'm feeling very detached this morning, and I'm finding that actually not even worrying about it is bringing up some physiological anxiety feelings for me. So I'm grateful for this break to just kind of reflect on it.
Yeah, good. And again, everyone's going to be at a different place on their journey, right? So honoring it all, letting it all be just as it is. And I love that you're doing exactly that. It's perfect. Thank you. Yes. Jasmine.
Thinking of just from Sherry's aha of how worry can be, or the worst case scenario can be a jumping off point, and thinking of Carly talking about imagination as a tool, and thinking about my own experiences of how many worst case scenarios have actually come true for me. Before, and I'm thinking of how do I now make friends with worst case scenarios in a way that serves as a jumping off point, and using my incredible imagination that runs wild all the time to imagine what life looks like after those worst case scenarios come true. Because making friends is something that is easy, but it's hard to struggle after that worst case scenario happens. And so how to turn that into an empowering story.
Right. So sometimes I have envisioned it and that thing did happen. That happens too. Right. I had that conversation with my man before. It's like, okay, well, if one of us dies, but we didn't really think it was going to happen, you know, but then it did, right? Now what? Now what do I do there? And how do I find that empowering story when I have what feels like a practice of that's happened before and so I'm worried it's going to happen again. And so finding that way through, knowing that I've got a powerful imagination that can be trained in a different direction. And then the importance again of the yoga and the mind training, because we don't just will it to happen. It's a training that happens for our minds as well, right? So thank you for that, Jasmine. Yes, beautiful. Let me see, who's next on my screen? You guys changed places. I think it's Mary Kay who's next. If you're able to speak, not sure if you are. And if not, then it's Marla, and you might or might not be in a place where you can speak. Okay. Thank you all. What a beautiful and unexpected, at least from my perspective, morning for me, because it's not where this block was going to go. We were going to letting go, but that often happens. It's letting go of the curriculum for a higher purpose. It just, like, things got rearranged and we went in a different door to get there in a very deep and powerful and beautiful way. So we're going to take just under a half hour break. We'll come back at, let's take a full half hour break, all right? So let's make it 11:32. We'll come back at 11:32. So you've got that full half hour, and we're going to come back to a peaceful warrior. That's where we're going to enter in. What did you love about that? What was your take home from that? What did you, what was beautiful in that movie for you? I saw a lot of your faces lighting up. And again, if you didn't see it, don't worry about it. It's all perfect. Okay. So see you guys all in half an hour. Take good care of yourselves, please. Do whatever you need to nourish your body, mind, spirit, and we'll see you in half an hour.